I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of the first post-winter break Premiership weekend. Rangers complete the signing of Mohamed Diomande and close in on Brazilian left-back Hefty. Celtic secure Cameron Carter-Vickers on a new contract, and Stephen Robinson's full of praise for countryman Steve Davis as St Mirren prepare to host Rangers. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller. Glad you could both join us on such a busy day for football. None of you have chucked your CV in for Jurgen Klopp's replacement, no?
Absolutely not.
Maybe team up? Would you go in as his assistant?
I'll be the assistant, yeah.
Roll back the ears.
I'll just be the good connection between the gaffer and the player.
You and Mo, you and wee Mo teaming up, I can just about see it. But Jim, we're delighted to have the Premiership fully back.
Yep.
It's been drip-fed back to us across the midweek, but really back with a bang this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have the league fixtures back. Obviously, the major clubs kind of broke themselves in last week a little bit, nice and easy. Comfortable victories in the Scottish Cup and get themselves set up for the league campaign. Rangers winning during the week with a terrific result and performance against Hibernian, making it 5 points with still a game in hand. So, yeah, really exciting weeks ahead, and I think this is going to be an integral part of the season. And we've just seen the first major signing of the season with Rangers as well, but also I think a fantastic signing if you're a Celtic fan as well, with Cameron Carter-Vickers signing a new, was it 5 year contract?
5.5. He's been a rock. He always had his injury problems this year, but he's a massive player, really, really influential on that Celtic backline. So that'll be good news for Celtic. I'm sure they'll still want to see a few new faces in before the end of next or the middle of next week and the end of the transfer window. But yeah, that's good news for Celtic on the re-sign him.
Yeah, I've seen that on social media all day. Celtic fans saying that's great news about Carter-Vickers, but don't think this means we don't still want new signings.
That's no kidding us on. We need new faces in the building.
The transfer window is creaking closed. They always say it slams shut, don't they? I think it's starting to creak closed. Not too many days remaining. So give us all your thoughts. 0141 951 1025. A busy Friday night. Rangers fans, Mohamed Diomande is done. It is signed. It is over the line. How do you feel about that? How high are your hopes for him? Where do you see him fitting in to that team? A new Brazilian left back on his way by all accounts as well. What do you make of that? Does that spell the end for Yilmaz or Barisic? Which one? How do you see that area of the pitch playing out? And of course, if you want general preview ahead of the game tomorrow, you can do that as well. Celtic fans, how happy are you to have Cameron Carter-Vickers on that new long-term contract? How highly do you rate him? How important is that piece of business? And as the guys alluded to, what else needs to happen? Because it feels like that's the bit that's been bubbling away for you in the background. What else needs to happen? You've maybe got a choice at left back this weekend. No Greg Taylor, injured. Does that mean a rare start for Burnaby? Are you sticking Liam Scales there and shaking things about, or bringing someone else in entirely? What do you think? 0141 951 1025. And every team in the Premiership is involved tomorrow. Big games down the divisions, so no excuse. All of you, as many of you as possible, let's hear from you on 0141 951 1025. It's like absence makes the heart grow fonder, as they say. I feel like that break, we spent the first couple of days talking about, for each team, does it come at a good time or a bad time? Is there such a thing? It now feels like, you know, kind of foot to the floor, and this is where we start heading towards the bit where titles are won and lost.
The business end of the season, you know, I think for titles, for league titles, for top six and European spots, and obviously you're going to have teams, again, when you look at that table, it's still quite tight at the bottom of that league. So trying to get away from relegation, trying to escape that playoff spot and just find yourself either pushing towards the top six, but at least get into safety. So it's a big month, a lot of games in February coming up as well. So it's the chance leading into that to either pull away from danger, to stretch a lead, or actually cement yourself into that top six.
Yeah, I think that January is always an important month because that's when signings can make the difference. You know, we always talk about recruitment. I mean, we discuss it more so maybe with the two major clubs in the country, Gordon, but it's every bit as vital to every other club in January. Can these be the signings to do to get you to the targets that Kenny just mentioned there? You know, and I think with that, the recruitment and the kind of work that goes on behind the scenes can be every bit as important as what happens on the pitch on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. But we have a full calendar tomorrow, which is a rarity in itself. And I think that's when, you know, you start to see the gaps in either closing or increasing because everyone's playing on the same day. So I think it's going to be a terrific weekend of football.
Right, come on, don't moan about the transfer window being quiet and then miss your opportunity to come on and have your say when we actually do have some signings. So Rangers fans, Mohamed Diomande, that is done. It's been bubbling away for a few days. How do you feel about that signing? How high are your hopes? Have you been doing a bit of digging? What are you expecting? And how do you see him fitting into the Rangers team? It looks like a new Brazilian left back will join him. So again, does that spell the end for Yilmaz or Barisic? Or none of them, I suppose. There is a third option there, but that might be the less popular one. How do you see that area of the team developing? 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now if you can, because we're going to speak to hear from Philippe Clement very soon. So if you can get your thoughts in, that would be ideal. Celtic fans, same obvious kind of question in terms of today's headline. Is Cameron Carter-Vickers, how big a boost is that? We all know the way it works here. Yes, you would love to have him for the next 5 years. Probably it's more about securing him against any bids that come in the future. So how important is that business? And what's next? It is the 26th of January, in case you hadn't noticed. What has to happen next? I know there's been a lot of speculation about left backs, for example, and now tomorrow Greg Taylor's injured, so who'll play? Should Celtic have had a more suitable backup in, or are you happy to go Burnaby or Scales or someone else? Do let us know. St Mirren fans, can you cause a shock, an upset tomorrow? Can you manage that at home to Rangers? What do you think? 0141 951 1025. It's a really big weekend across really all the division, Kenny, when you look at it. But obviously we do get very obsessed with the psychology of it. If you were to pick a handful of so-called tricky kind of away venues sort of thing, Rangers going to St Mirren would be one of them. And then you'd say what psychological effect does that have later on in the afternoon?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, St Mirren, when they're not quite in as good a place and in good as form as what they were at the start of the season, and obviously finishing off last season pretty well, obviously making the top six, and they were off to a flyer this season. They're not quite at that same moment, but still, again, they've caused problems for both sides of the Old Firm at St Mirren Park over the last few seasons. So listen, it's this tough venue thing. I'm always somebody that doesn't really want to buy into that. When you're Rangers or Celtic, you've got better players, you're a better team, you've got to go and win. If you want to win league titles, you need to go there and win. Listen, it's never going to be easy. Away games aren't, but you go there. If Rangers turn up tomorrow and St Mirren turn up and they put their best foot forward, more often than not, Rangers are going to win. So it's a chance, like you say. It's the psychology of playing early, you know, or playing the day before. Tomorrow it's the early kickoff. Rangers have a chance for a short period anyway to close that gap to 2 points and just put a little bit of pressure on Celtic. Again, with Celtic being at home in Ross County, what that pressure actually means and what it transfers to, who knows? But it's a chance for a short time to get within arm's reach of Celtic at the top of that league.
You know the way it works, Jim. It's not necessarily putting pressure on Celtic, it can be presenting them with an opportunity. If you slip up in the early one, this is what it's going to be between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, but I think these clubs are used to that now. You know, it's not like, you know, a few years ago, I mean, it's really probably 10 years ago now when teams played at the same time every week. So it's very rare There's usually one team over the last 17 years that play earlier or a day before. So I think they're used to it now. But I still think that it's important that Rangers do throw down the gauntlet and get a result at St Mirren. They've scored 7 goals in 2 games, albeit, you know, Dumbarton away, they would expect him to score. But then Easter Road, a convincing result and a clean sheet. So they've came back from the break, which didn't happen a couple of years ago. They came back a little bit stuttering, and this time they look as if they've come back in good fettle. So you'd expect them to go to St Mirren tomorrow and have a convincing performance and a victory.
Right, let's go to the phones and see where we're starting tonight. Stephen is a Celtic fan from Kirkintilloch. How's it going, Stephen?
How you doing, guys? Thanks very much for taking my call.
Our pleasure, Stephen. Our pleasure. What have you got for us?
Well, listen, kind of just to follow on what you were talking about in regards to the transfer market. As a Celtic fan, to be fair, really underwhelmed with how Celtic have conducted their business. I'm glad that Carter Vickers has signed a new deal, which is good considering there was a bit of interest in him. But I think at this moment in time, for me, Celtic seem to be about 2 or 3 players short of trying to get this league over the line. And it's by no means over the line for any one of the teams, you know, that are fighting for it. I think the board have been a wee bit complacent, and the Greg Taylor incident is a perfect example. If something happens to the likes of Kyogo, Celtic have pretty much 0 up front and cover there. So I think they're taking a big, massive chance by not investing just now. And I'm not saying that you can get fantastic players at this moment in time, but you can get players within Scotland that would be enough for me, I think, to push Celtic over the line, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, Hugh Keevans comes on here on the 3rd of January and says, what's happening? Why have Celtic not signed anyone? This is terrible. And we're all laughing and so on. And before you know it, it's the 26th. Yeah. And the discussion becomes valid. You don't have to agree, but it's certainly a valid talking point. Stephen has shown. Are you surprised, basically, that we've got to the 26th and Nicholas Kuhn is all Celtic have to show for the window?
Yeah, I mean, Nicholas Kuhn has come in, obviously, a decent amount of money, a winger. Stephen's saying that, you know, that the board's complacent. I don't think that's complacent, Stephen. I think that they've been, you know, trying everything and to, you know, to try and get the right players in that Brendan Rodgers is going to be happy with. This is the situation of trying to make sure that it's the right blend of players, the right type of players that Brendan Rodgers mentioned a couple of months ago when he said he would like 4 signings to come, but be, you know, like, you know, not just bulking up the squad, because he's got a big squad. It's really, can they go and be competitive in the first team and make a difference to retain the title? So I think that that's important, to bring those type of quality players in. And I think that they're finding it very, very difficult. But yes, I agree 100% that they should be, you know, bringing players in. There is still a week to go. I think if you asked me the same question in a week, Gordon, if they hadn't signed anybody, it would be a major surprise. So I fully expect another couple of signings for Celtic in the areas that probably Stephen has mentioned, either as a striker, possibly a fullback. But I think there'll be at least a couple. I'll be amazed if they finish the window closes and Celtic don't have a couple of major signings in.
It's possible. Kenny, we'll get onto this left back that Rangers are signing. They can come out the blue, they can happen quickly, but there's not a lot of noise. It doesn't look like, you know, there are loads of irons in the fire, so to speak. But again, that might just be because it's been really conducted behind closed doors. Are you surprised we've got to this stage like Stephen is?
I think when we're coming into the January transfer window, both big teams, both sides of Glasgow have been talked about that they do need players. Again, both managers have said that they want to strengthen, they want to bring some new faces in. And it's evident that a lot of fans and a lot of, even in the media outlets, like, we're talking about, like, if Rangers can go and sign a couple of players, if Celtic, again, Stephen's talking about it as well, to push them over the line to win this title, then nothing's going to guarantee it. But definitely signing a couple of better players, guys that are going to come in and be better, are going to give you a better chance, you know. So definitely a surprise. Obviously, Rangers seem to have been a little bit more active. Again, the news that's came out today, a little bit more active. But Celtic, I am surprised. I have to say, I am surprised. Even Nicholas Kuhn, it's not, again, I'm going to go back to it. I use that kind of underwhelmed at, for the summer transfer window. You know, there's not a lot of names, and I know you always threw it back to me, but neither was Kyogo and neither was Hatate and these types of guys. But again, you've got that same feeling again with Kuhn coming in, and you're 5 days with a deadline to go, and it remains to be seen if that Celtic starting lineup has been strengthened as yet.
I mean, Stephen, I'm sure some Celtic fans though will say that, you know, maybe you're being harsh and the, you know, club's in strong position and January's a tough window, all that sort of stuff. So is there any truth in that? You see that side of things?
Yeah. Listen, I get it, the clubs have got to balance the books and stuff like that, but I think when you're in a tight race with Rangers for a Champions League £60 million pot, I think now's not the time to be sitting trying penny pinching. And Celtic are well renowned for penny pinching, let's not kid ourselves on. I know they were interested in the left back, and whether you believe it or not, no, the rumours have it that they say that they did think the guy was worth £4 million. So for me, that means...
Who's that, sorry?
There was a left back they were looking at, the boy, is it Aurelio or something? I can never remember the club he was here. I just remember seeing it a week or two ago. But they were kind of looking at him, but it didn't get off the ground because the boys were looking for, the club was looking for like £4 million for him, and they just don't value him at that level. Now, I'm granted it could be rumours, you know, it could be stuff for the papers, but I just believe that, for me, I'm no buying the fact that the club aren't being complacent, because we've known for a long time that we've needed players in specific positions. Lager Bielka's getting shipped out, you know, we're only really probably one more injury for a centre-half, and then we'll have another defensive crisis in there again. So the players that we have in reserve, for me, don't cut the mustard. You know, if you take two or three key players out of your starting 11 and replace them, that team's not the same team, and that's the whole point of having reserve players of the same standard. So I think the club's really got to try and pull out all the stops, because listen, fair play to Rangers, they're out doing their business, they're doing what they can, working with what they've got. I don't believe Celtic are working with what they've got. That's what I honestly think.
Thank you very much to Stephen. Think Celtic's transfer strategy has been complacent so far. You don't have to agree, of course. So agree or disagree, why not let us know. John's a Celtic fan. Would you agree with your fellow supporter, John?
Not at all, Gordon. The boy's panicking. The boy's swarm. Gordon, Celtic will have four players in the door come 31st of January midnight.
Can I hold you to that?
Gordon, I've told you so before, and I've told you information. I write that down.
What positions? Can you give me more?
Well, here's one for you, right? Lawrence Shanklin will get Celtic Park till the 31st of January.
Oh, what? This is even better. Where my pen? How sure are you of that?
100% sure. Oh.
Okay.
Grabs me
fantastically. I mean, he's given me specific names.
Big Jim Duffy made a wee a good. Jim's there. Jim's there. Jim, you've been in this game for many moons, right? And there's a week to go in his transfer window. Jim, you know, Celtic will be talking to players well before this week's out, and they've spoken to players weeks ago, and they're in position just to be signing the paper. That'll happen, Jim. Celtic will have these players in the door, and I'm telling you, Lawrence Shanklin will be at Celtic Park
on the 31st of January. I do agree with you, John, that I think there'll be players in. Lawrence Shanklin, yeah, listen, good. If it was to happen, I think it would be a terrific signing. Sometimes you need other clubs to have options before they let their key players go. It doesn't matter which players it is, whether it's in Scotland, whether it's all over Europe. And sometimes there's little triggers, and then you get a rush because one or two clubs, you know, get their players away, they've got new players in, and then all of a sudden the floodgates open, and that's why you see an awful lot of deals getting done in the last day. We always kind of wonder why are they all waiting to the last day, you know. But sometimes that's what happens. It just there's a trigger point, and that opens the door. I do think Celtic will sign a couple of players. I mentioned that earlier. Lawrence Shanklin was not one that would be on my radar, but you seem to be very confident with that, John, so we'll be looking forward to see what happens over the next few days.
So did you always expect it, John, to be done kind of last minute? You didn't think there would be a few more in by this stage, no?
No. See, the thing with Jim is saying there, Gordon, a lot of teams, they weigh up their oppositions as well, right? They just have a wee... But see, at the end of the day, Gordon, I'll guarantee you, who's on the show? Is it who's on the show?
Kenny Miller. Well? He's a bit like you, but yeah. Kenny Miller.
Oh, Kenny, boy, you're awful
climbing, man. I'm just loving listening to you, to be honest with you, John. Listening to this four new signings that I can't wait to see happen.
Right, Kenny, see you after tonight. I'll be your go-to man, won't I?
Absolutely. I tell you what, if I see Lauren Shankly at Celtic Park next Tuesday, then absolutely you will, John.
You're not buying it?
Right. I don't think so, no. I don't think so.
You don't think so? Nah. Doubtful.
John, what about your fellow Celtic fans' example, though? Even if you're right about this window, was take tomorrow, Greg Taylor. Who's the backup left back? Should Celtic have, you know, have a kind of stronger backup situation in place where you're not wondering whether it's Burnaby in from the cold or whether, you know, who plays there tomorrow? Is that an example of an area that should have been addressed before?
Well, listen, Gordon, I think Celtic are capable of putting the big Liam to the left back position. I think boy could fill out skills. I think he could fill out their slot in there quite easily. And we've got the players there, Gordon. I get what you're saying. Do you want to bring an experienced left back in? Maybe I, maybe not. I think we've got enough power and enough players there to can slot in the positions. You know what I'm saying? And because these guys were brought in, right, the thing is, at the start of the season, Blackaby, Elkill, all that stuff. These guys are decent players, Gordon. You can't just write them off. I think we're capable enough, yep, definitely, to do that. But I still say, Gordon, and I'm telling you, I know, Celtic will have players in, five in total, including the boys sitting there.
You know, listen, John's in the know, so
Kenny, I don't know what you're laughing at, because if he's right, he's going to talk to you. I will take my hat off to him.
Like, again, but he's 100% he missed, and maybe he's Lauren Shanklin's agent and he's working on the deal as we speak. Who knows? But it's, four players. I mean, my question would be if, like, it's just like you say, like, why no early? You know, I get it at the last deadline day, the last couple of days of the transfer. There's always deals done. There's always maybe, whether it be you're trying to get a better deal in terms of what you're playing for the club, there's a wee bit of panic sets in. Again, the club that are selling, well, they desperately want them. They can maybe get an extra couple of hundred grand out of the deal. I get that, but I'm still surprised that there's not been kind of some serious action, because there, it needs to be. And both sides of Glasgow, both teams need to be improved. And again, the previous caller, Stephen, says it just gives you that better chance when there's a league title on the line to give yourself, again, not to guarantee it, but to give yourself that better chance. And there is areas of cover in that Celtic team. Like, I think it was Stephen that said they're only a couple of injuries away from key players. You know, I agree with that. I absolutely do. Kyogo, again, it's been talked about probably for about a year now, actually, in terms of the cover for Kyogo potentially not being good enough. So, again, maybe Lauren Shanklin's going to be the guy.
Well, John, you've stuck your neck on the line. We don't mind that at all. That was John giving us his predictions. What do you think, Celtic fans? We've had both sides there. First Celtic fan said the club is complacent about signings. John as far on the other end of the argument as you could imagine. So give us a call, whether you agree or disagree with either one of them. And what about you Rangers fans? Mohamed Diomande, are you excited about that? How do you see him fitting in? And what about this potentially surprise news coming out this afternoon that there's a Brazilian left back on his way as well? How does he fit in? Let us know. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Jim Duffy are here. 0141-951-1025 to join in, and please do. We are not too far away from hearing from Philippe Clement. So Rangers fans, get your thoughts in on the one signing that's already secured and the one that might be about to happen. The big news coming out of Celtic today is what has attracted Scott and Cambus Lang's attention. Cameron Carter-Vickers signing a new long-term contract. His extension takes him to the summer of 2029. So quite a long-term one, a big commitment there. What about your thoughts on that, Scott? Happy, I take it?
Over the moon, mate. How are you doing, guys? All right? Over the moon. Absolutely delighted. You know, I think that's the next captain of Celtic, to be honest. You know, he gets it when Cal McGregor's no end there anyway, if he's playing, obviously, you know. So I think the 5-year contract, you know, they're trying to see it long-term. You know, I'm not saying that McGregor's going to go anywhere, but just in case, you know, just in case it happens to him or whatever. But I think that was sold to him, you know. So, listen, you know, contract is just a piece of paper. Anybody can come in and buy him for so much money, but at least it's a start into, you know, it's something there. It's positive.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, you'd be hard-pushed to find a Celtic fan who has even the slightest negative to say about Carter Vickers. Yeah. He's had that type of impact since he came, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been magnificent. He's such a steady, you know, reliable defender. And, you know, I often say sometimes you get the boring words, but that's the word you want if you're a defender, reliable, you know, dependable. And that's exactly what Carter Vickers is. He is influential as well. You know, he's got a real influence. I think him and Starfelt were a terrific combination. He's helped Scales, although they've not played together that often. But I just think he's instrumental in, you know, Celtic's, you know, the way they press, because you need defenders that can deal with one-to-one situations. At times, Celtic will go, the two fullbacks, as we know, really, really high, leave themselves with those two defenders. You've got to trust that those defenders can deal with that. And in Scottish football, they can do that. In Europe, it's been, you know, one or two problems there. But certainly in Scottish football, magnificent. A terrific professional as well, a leader on the pitch, a different type of leader, you know, not the vocal leader, but by performance a little bit, you know, like Callum McGregor. And Scott's right, it also does protect Celtic in terms of Carter Vickers as an investment now. You know, they've got them in such a big, lucrative long-term contract that if someone does come in, they'll have to pay the true value, rather than when his contract's starting to run down, then obviously clubs are in buying clubs are in a better negotiating stance. But now Celtic are in control of that, and Carter Vickers is in control of that. Now, I think it's a terrific piece of business for Celtic, both on the pitch and for the future, if any interest comes in for the player.
Absolutely agree. I mean, again, if you are looking for a negative, though, Gordon, he's been injured a bit this season, you know, but he's still at a wonderful age, 26. That'll take him into his early 30s. He's so influential in that team. Listen, he's the number one centre-back. You know, and I think if you've got Carter Vickers alongside Scales, it's a strong partnership. Scales has been a revelation for Celtic this year. So it's a big addition. You know, what they need to do is get him fit, get him back fit, keep him in that team, and he can be influential as he has been over the last kind of couple of seasons or so. So it's a wonderful signing. Again, it's them taking care of their business, something like, again, maybe across the other side of the city, it's not been as good in terms of that. And think of Kent leaving for nothing, Morelos, you've got Lundstrom and Barisic now coming into the final months of their career. They're not protected, like Jim says, in relation to teams coming and maybe trying to nick them at this stage, or leaving for nothing in the summer. So again, it's Celtic being ahead of the game and being proactive in that side of it.
Yeah, Celtic have been very good at that, Scott. You look at the long-term deals. What about incomings? Are you as calm about incomings as the previous caller was? Are you hoping and expecting for a bit more?
I'm hoping for a bit more. I'm calm. You know, the Celtic way is always, you know, we leave it to the last possible couple of days, you know. But I do think there'll be maybe two or three new signings on there. I think it's Shankland. Don't think so. I agree with Jim. I don't think Shankland will be at Celtic. I don't think that at all. But, look at the left-back situation at the moment. You know, they're needing cover. We should have bought that boy that was at Dundee's, went back to Liverpool. We should have bought him straight at the beginning of the window. Right at the beginning of the window.
The Celtic ways wait to the end, though, Scott, you've just said.
I wonder if there's a bit of sympathy on that, because obviously Liverpool didn't want to let him go at the end of the window, at the start of the window, yeah. And now they've played him, and he can't play for anyone else.
That's it. Can only get back to the Dundee.
The type of obstacle you could run into. Yeah. Now, I still accept that Celtic, or any fans, can say, yeah, okay, but look, there are players out there, and you know, they go X, Y, and Z example of good players that have been signed in January. Celtic have done it. It can be done. But is that maybe an example of the type of unforeseen obstacle you can run into? And then you don't just go and sign someone that's substandard just to say that you've done it.
No, you need the quality. But I mean, everyone will say you need two players to play in each position. And I really do think that's much more evident and much more important now than it ever was. You know, teams will change their players now 3-4 times, even if they've won convincingly. Used to be, well, keep the consistency, don't change it. The game has changed completely now. It is absolutely squad-based, and it's the strength of your squad that can sometimes dictate, you know, how successful you are, not just the strength of 11 or, you know, 13 or 14 players. You need the same quality in each position. That's the bottom line. You cannot have a big gulf in quality.
But the reality is that's never happening. That's never happening in our teams, whether it be Rangers, Celtic,
just
or whatever.
Try to get as close as you can, aren't you?
Yeah, but it's never going to happen. You've not got the money to do it. You've not got the budgets to do it. And by the way, like in every football club, the starters are the starters. You know,
the caller who brought up left back tomorrow, it's a fair point, isn't it? Because I don't think anyone is suggesting that you should get the violin out because Celtic have to play someone slightly out of position against Ross County at home. It's just more about the kind of principle of it.
It's how you're in that situation. That's it. I mean, again, we're talking just off here. They've spent a lot of money on Burnaby. You know, like, this is a player that £3-4 million has been spent on, so you would expect him to be capable to step in for Greg Taylor. I mean, again, I spoke last season about the start. Greg Taylor deserves a lot of credit for keeping these, and listen, he might not be the quality that Celtic are looking for, but when you spend that kind of money, you automatically think he's going to get an opportunity to take that jersey. Greg Taylor's just not allowed it, but in his absence, Burnaby's clearly not been the answer, and a lot of Celtic fans are not happy, which is why you're talking about Scales maybe dropping. And then can Scales play there on a game or two? Absolutely can. But it's how are Celtic in that situation that they've not got a capable replacement that's going to play their specialised position?
Well, who play there tomorrow? You decide. Thanks to Scott in Cambus Lang. Philippe Clement says they needed to fight off stiff competition to sign Mohamed Diomande. He thinks the midfielder is a huge prospect for the future, but is also capable of an impact this season.
Everybody's really pleased about that because he was one of the biggest prospects in Scandinavia. So there were a lot of teams interested in him. It's still a young player, but he has already a lot of experience also. He played more than 100 games for Nordsjælland, what's a good team. And they bring already several really good players into the rest of Europe and into the top competitions. So it's a team that everybody follows. So it's not easy to get a player towards Rangers from that team because there's a lot of competition. But Dio was really interested in the project. We had a lot of talks about that. It's a signing for short, but also for long term. So that's not easy to do in January. And so I'm delighted that the club could do that.
We've seen high hopes fritter away very quickly when it comes to signings, Kenny. We've seen underwhelming signings on paper be brilliant. You can never really tell, but is this the profile of signing that excites you as a Rangers incoming?
I think Philippe Clement's highlighted where they want to be looking. They're looking at that. Again, it's not a Rangers model. It's not a Celtic model. It's the model of every team. They want to sign them young for a decent enough transfer fee and shift them on. This looks like, again, even with the Brazilian left-back that's been linked, it's potentially on the way. It looks like that is, at this moment, going to be what Philippe Clement wants to work with. Again, clearly they've got quality or you wouldn't be signing them anyway. And they've done you're hoping they've done their homework probably better than what they've done in the summer. But these guys are coming in. They need to be ready to hit the ground running because signings need to be made in this January transfer window to improve the team. No, again, it can be a project. It can be both. It can be a project, but also coming into play and start and at least compete with the Lundstroms, the Raskans, the Cantwells, and pushing them to either to take their place or pushing them on to be better. So
there's often a giveaway for us, isn't there? You're not, especially both Rangers and Celtic, but especially Rangers. You're not spending £4.5 million and saying, "I will maybe see the best of him in 18 months, 2 years." You need something now, don't you?
No, you can't. And I think we've talked about it a lot over this last, say, 6 months or so. On both our teams, like say obviously Dessers, Danilo and Lammers, there was big money spent on them. Again, even the previous summer, you're looking at Yilmaz and Ben Davies and Colak that were all signed for good money. On the other side of the city, you've had Lagerbielka coming, you've got Navrotsky are coming in on good track. We've talked about Burnaby like the previous year. There's been a lot of money spent on guys that have potentially not cut it. You know, but you're right, when you're spending that amount of transfer fee, that amount of money on a player, fans expect to see an impact, an immediate impact. And you know what? Whether you're 22 or 32, it doesn't guarantee, there's no guarantee that any player's going to come into Glasgow and settle. But when you're spending that money and when you know it's this important, again, we've had a caller already talking tonight that they want to see their team getting over the line. You know, you're hoping that these players are going to help you do that.
Okay, Rangers fans, what do you think? That's one signing signed and sealed. So you happy with that? How do you see him fitting in? And Brazilian left back potentially on his way. What do you make of that one? We'll speak to you next. Clyde One. Make me a winner. See, Make Me A Winner has been grabbing the nation, because Jim Duffy was even talking about Make Me A Winner when we were coming into the studio. So everybody's interested. Lorna from Shield Hill in Falkirk ended a full week of winners by bagging £100,000. What a reaction, and she deserves that. Going to sort the house out, take the whole family on holiday, treat herself to a nice designer handbag as well, apparently. We won't grudge her that, but we could make you the winner of £102,000 on Monday when we make the next call, but you need to be in the draw. Text YES to 61025. Text her £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter online at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. The important bit: if you get the call after 3 p.m. on Monday, answer within five rings, say "Make me a winner" straight away, and the £102,000 would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Jim Duffy have been hearing from Philippe Clement on new signing at Rangers, Mohamed Diomande. Dominic is a Rangers fan. What do you make of it, Dominic? Is it a piece of business you like?
Good evening, Gordon, Kenny and Jim.
Hello,
Dominic.
For me, I think it's a bit of a, as I say to the producer, see, I hope he does well, but say for example, he gets the chances to play so many games, but what happens if he doesn't cut it? If going by the media reports, what happens if we end up having to pay the £4 million fee regardless if he doesn't cut it? Mm-hmm. I think that would be a waste, rather than just going for actually taking him on loan first with the option to buy.
It's kind of just becoming the modern way, hasn't mm-hmm. it? And we've spoke about, you know, Celtic trying to fend off one for Matt O'Reilly. I know there's financial fair play that everybody seems to be doing it now. It's the in thing, Jim, the loan mm-hmm. with the obligation to buy.
Yeah,
I get Dominic's point. Rangers will just be looking at it with a much more optimistic outlook. They assume he will.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's a guarantee, you know, you've got to do it. Celtic had a similar thing with Jota, and then it got changed, then eventually, yeah. they, you know, you can maybe get some money later on. But in terms of Diomande, it's one of those ones where, yeah, you can wait a little bit, see how he settles down, maybe spread the cost, all these type of things. But I think you've just got to get him in the door mm-hmm. first and give the boy a real chance to see what like it is to play for Rangers. And again, no disrespect, I'm not saying the league he's playing in is not a decent league, but the club is not the size of Glasgow Rangers. He's not playing in front of 50,000 people every week, and with the demands and expectations you have of playing for Rangers. So he's got to be able to fit into the style, fit into the system, and also be able to handle playing for Rangers. That is a big thing, and I think the next few months can do that. And then once the boys settled in, then it's maybe fair to judge him a little bit later on. But You mentioned yourself earlier on, Gordon, when you're paying £4 million plus for a player, you know, you don't get too long, you get maybe a game or two, and then the judgment starts to follow you.
I get what Dominic means. In the worst case scenario, if he has a really disappointing season, Rangers fans like, well, we're stuck with this guy sort of thing. But that's just the structure of the deal really now, isn't it? As an example, Rangers clearly want this player long term. Yeah. So if they under different circumstances, they would just buy him right now, you know, you would remove the loan thing. They buy him right now. He's contracted till 2028, and if he has a difficult first couple of months, well, tough is then your
throw. The usual takes time to settle. So he's a young player. So all that comes into it.
Is this not just this modern thing that we need to get used to? A lot of players are just going on loan initially, making it permanent in the summer. Take our own Andy Halliday at Fir Park. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just becoming more and more common.
It has been more common, but I get what Dominic's saying. You would far try before you buy type thing, you know, get them on loan without the obligation, you know, maybe the option like Dominic's saying, that would be a deal that would be better for Rangers.
Yeah, but if he's as sought after as Philippe Clement's making out,
they want him, so they're happy to do it. Because like I say, see worst case scenario that Dominic's put out there, and for the next 4.5 months he maybe doesn't pull up trees, and he might not get the game time because the likes of Raskin, Cantwell, Jack or Lundstrom are all still playing ahead of him. listen, it's taking time to settle. He's a young player coming into a new league, a different league, by the way, far bigger club, far stronger expectations. It's just going to take him a wee bit. And by the way, the January transfer window is not an easy one to come and sell. You've got all these things that are going to buy him a little bit of time. The club want him, they're willing to pay that money, they want the player, they've signed the player, and he's going to be a full Rangers player come the summer, and they're going to pay the transfer fee. So that's what it is.
Philip Clement has said that there was other clubs interested in him, so maybe they've put in proposals of, we'll give you so much, or we'll wait till the summer. Rangers come in, say, no, we'll give you the money now. We want the player in. So if you've got competition and you really want the player, then you've got to show your hand.
I think all managers say that as well, just to talk up their signing, don't they? Everybody wanted them. Yeah. These guys wanted them. We're the team that have got them.
Dominic, it appears it's come out of left field a little bit that there is a deal closing in for Brazilian left back Hefty, which would be a good Scottish take on that name.
As long as he's not.
I keep looking at him, it must be pronounced that way. I'll try and change it just so it doesn't fit in. But anyway.
God, I thought it was Jeffy.
Well, I'm thinking, I'm trying, yeah, well, that might change.
Could it be a silent
things.
T and it could be like a Hefe or.
Anyway, he's currently on loan at Apoel from Fluminense. To be fair, actually, if he's Brazilian. No, you're thinking you're right. You would be right, actually, because it wouldn't be Spanish, it would be Portuguese, like Jose Mourinho rather than Jose.
Yeah.
Let's go Jeffy. Good. That's easier then, isn't it? Because then it's not like fat. Jeffy, good. It works. What do you think that means for the left back area, Dominic?
I've just all seen it in the producer, Gordon. I think that's basically given the green light to basically say that Yilmaz is probably going to go. Maybe about expecting a big bid for him, or the likes of, say, Barisic, but the way I see it is, I kind of think that if, obviously he's young, but if he's going to come in and squat straight into the first team, left, for me, left back's not a priority. I'd rather see another striker brought in.
But then it kind of is if one of them, and Barisic is out of contract anyway, or if one of them was to leave this window. What do you think that means for the...
I think it's more likely that Yilmaz will go because there's a potential to sell him. There's been reports that teams in Italy, there's teams in his homeland in Turkey that want him to go there. I think it would maybe more likely he'll leave. Barisic has now sat it to the stage where he's 4.5 months away for the end of a contract. What Rangers would they get at this moment for Barisic? So it would be more likely for me, Yilmaz. I agree, actually agree with him. I don't think it is a priority. It becomes a priority if Yilmaz was to leave. But Rangers are also in control of that. He's still probably got 3.5 years of contract left. But if they can get the money that they're happy to take now, then obviously it does become a priority.
Jeffy, good, that'll work. Right, thanks very much to Dominic. What about Scott, who's also a Rangers fan? You've made new signing today, Scott. What do you think of it?
I just don't understand it. I mean, I've never seen a young boy play, so I'm not too sure of him, but...
So what if he's brilliant?
No, what's that, sorry?
What if he's brilliant?
Well, if he's brilliant, that's good, but middle of front, I think Rangers create enough chances. Their problem is in front of goal, where the striker's not putting the ball in the net, the chances they get. So I think the money could have been better used bringing in Lawrence Shankland.
It's the one that we'll never shake off until the window closes.
He's going to Celtic anyway. John was saying earlier.
It doesn't look. Rangers might still sign a striker anyway. Yeah. People always get quite worked up about the order of the signings, as if you need to sign your priority
number
position
priority,
first.
Yeah.
Work your way through them. What you would say is, if there is that, can you imagine Rangers then going again with a big fee for a striker after this? Possibly not.
If they get some money in for somebody like Yilmaz, or if they move some players out, then there's a possibility. But obviously they've signed Fabio Silva as well, remember? I mean, he's on loan, but he has a striker that's come in. So they have looked to fill that gap, or with Danilo being injured and Lammers being away. I just think that, a manager's job is to try and improve the team. And Philip Clement has also mentioned the transfer policy and the recruitment policy in terms of what Kenny mentioned earlier on, bringing young players in, developing them, and then further down the line, capitalising on that value. And that's something that Rangers have struggled a little bit over recent years. So that's part of probably the Diamondi one, where they'll look at that as a longer term investment as well as strengthening the squad. Scott's right. I think that there is still scope for bringing in a forward player, possibly a wide player. And I think, again, similar as we said, I don't think that'll be the end of Rangers signings. I think there'll be two or three go out, and I think there'll be another one or two possibly coming in.
I think the gist of Scott's point is he didn't think Rangers needed a midfielder.
Yeah.
Is that Is that fair, or does it feed back into the kind of conversation we had about Nicholas Kuhn when he arrived? Yeah. Okay, Celtic don't need a winger, but if he's better than what you've got and he's going to improve you, and it might be the investment, you know, as Jim says, you know, you need to, Rangers need to rebuild at some point. So
this could have been a target that they've had, you know, coming into this transfer. It could have been something they thought, you know what, we'll take him in the summer. But it could also, you just don't know what's going on behind the scenes in deals. Maybe Norslander are wanting to take the bid now because there's other teams are willing to take him now, like Philippe Clement says, that there is other teams interested. So Rangers have had to act now to get the man that they want. Again, I do agree. I think the forward areas would be a more pressing priority for me than a left back or another midfielder. Particularly the fact that you see Raskin's back now, you've got Ryan Jack's back, you've got Lundstrom, you've got Campbell, Tom Lawrence has now been back as well. So there is a lot of guys
still
that can play in those.
Dujon Sterling,
again, you threw him in. He's not a midfielder, but we'll throw him into the mix because he has played in there. He's not a midfielder, end of story.
He can play left back if somebody goes.
Listen, he can cover in there as well. He can play everywhere, you know. So, but I agree with Scott. I think the attacking areas of the pitch would be a more pressing priority for me. But there's still 5 days left. That could get addressed.
I always think these things are so vague anyway. You know, that even if it is a permanent transfer now, sometimes you pay a bit and you pay later. But I get where Gary's coming from on Twitter. He says, with signing Diamandé on loan and the money not due till the summer, could that mean the coffers are still there to purchase a striker now? But again, perfectly plausible suggestion from Gary there. Thanks to Scott on the line as well. It's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. You can take on Jim Duffy or Kenny Miller. It's been quite the week. We've gone to the tiebreaker twice. I don't know what that means for this evening, but it's been tighter than normal. So 01419511025, and you have to have your call in by 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. It's not that I'm not delighted to have you both, but I think Hugh Keevans is away seeing some sort of concert, as he would call it. But I can't remember which. So I wonder if we put a plea out to the people of Glasgow in the West who know these things. Who is on in Glasgow and surrounding area tonight that Hugh would be away to see?
Yeah.
Right. So we'll just because I genuinely don't know. So
Billy Eilish
must be
or something
to,
like playing tonight.
I don't think it's his style.
Avril Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne. Craig's niece.
Craig's niece. Yeah.
Nah, I don't think it's her either. Although speaking of getting the celebrities mixed up, you must have heard them last night. We're about to play Beat the Pundit. Did you hear it?
Aye.
Gordon DL. Mm-hmm. True or false? Yeah. Is Spider-Man actor Willem Dafoe related to former Rangers striker Jermaine Defoe? And he said true. And needless to say, we went to the tiebreaker. I think he lost, did he? Did he lose?
He did
in the
lose,
tiebreaker?
Aye.
We've actually,
it doesn't count to say because he was just messing about. So.
Some little known Beat the Pundit stats for you. We're now on 2 wins in a row for the listeners, I think. 2 wins in a row, and we've not had that for, when was it? Let me see. I got sent the information. We've not had 3 in a row since the 4th of December. So that's what lies in wait tonight. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, good suggestion. And if I had one of our pundits in mind that would give me something, it would be Simon Donnelly, because he's the biggest music fan, I reckon, out of you lot. Loves his music, and he's gone Strictly at the Hydro. Mm. Now, I can testify, because my mother is away to Strictly at the Hydro, but I don't... And Hugh does like his Strictly.
He could be on it, no. He could be starring in it.
He likes... Who was the lady of a certain vintage who was on it this year? Her name escapes me.
Gloria Hunniford.
Nah. Anyway, he's a big fan of Strictly. Yeah.
Angela
Rippon. There we are.
Yeah.
He loves Angela Rippon. It could be Strictly, but I think it's more of a musical act, so we'll have to try and get to the bottom of it. Anyway, Lewis is in Paisley. How's it going, Lewis?
I am good. How's yourself?
Not bad. You ever played Beat the Pundit before?
Nope, this is my first time.
Good stuff. Are you confident, or what are you thinking? How are you feeling now that you're on the radio?
Oh, I listen all the time and answer a few and I get them right, but see, when you're on the radio, that's a completely different story.
Well, actually, do you know what, Lewis? There's a bit of a proud Beat the Pundit history in Paisley. You're not one of that family that keep all phoning in and winning, are you?
No, my dad actually phoned in a few months ago, about a year ago maybe now, and Hugh Keevan beaten by one, I'm pretty sure.
Not something so, you really admit to be honest, quite frankly, but you never know. Do you remember the Paisley cousins?
I do. I've never been on, I don't think, against them, but I remember them.
Incredible. Anyway,
they're at it. They've got to be at it then.
They are sensational. But anyway, right, Lewis, what we'll do here is 30 seconds on loan. Just answer as on loan. I've just read the word on loan and it's popped into my head.
That's a question, Jim. Remember
on
that.
On the clock, there is a loan question. I'm just giving it away. 30 seconds on the clock, but we need to find out who you're playing. So heads, it's Kenny. Tails, Jim. And it is tails, Jim. You need to rescue this for the pundits tonight. So let's give Jim some greatest hits radio to listen to. And we'll get the 30 seconds ready for Lewis. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know. And that's about it, Lewis. That's all you need to know, okay?
Right, okay.
Right, good man. You're 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which Scottish Premiership team have Confidimus written on their badge?
Kilmarnock.
Ryan Fraser is on loan at Southampton from which club?
Newcastle.
What age is Joe Hart?
35.
How many years has Jurgen Klopp been at Liverpool?
Eight.
What's the name of Air United's home ground?
Pass.
Mohamed Diomande's signed for Rangers from which club?
Pass.
Which Hearts defender just signed a new contract until 2026 this week?
Craig Halkett.
I like the sound of Lewis. Jim, are you ready? Are you back?
Yes.
Girls just want to have fun. Yeah. I could hear it from here.
That was loud.
Who had that down as an unlikely Jim Duffy anthem? I just can't see it. I can't make
maybe
that.
Ask you who's going to see Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know who's on in Glasgow tonight, but we will find out. Let's get Jim the same set of questions. You ready?
Yeah.
Your time starts now. Which Scottish Premiership team have Confidimus written on their badge?
Command.
Ryan Fraser is on loan at Southampton from which club?
Newcastle.
What age is Joe Hart?
36.
How many years has Jurgen Klopp been at Liverpool?
8.
What is the name of Air United's home ground?
Somerset Park.
Mohamed Diomande has signed for Rangers from which club?
Nordjylland.
Which Hearts defenders this week signed a new contract until 2026?
Hearts defender Craig Halkett.
Who is currently top of the SWPL?
Rangers.
Lewis, what's the verdict?
I think he's beat me.
I'll tell you what, right, a roller coaster of emotions for me, because I thought Lewis was brilliant. I thought Lewis was pulling some good answers, and then that is the most confident performance I've ever heard from you, Jim Duffy. I'm not saying you were right or wrong, but you were confident. Yeah. I mean, that took me back to the Player of the Year era in Morton. That's how confident you were. Unbelievable. Let's find out.
False confidence.
I need to apologies to any Latin speakers. I hope my pronunciation wasn't too bad. Confidimus, that must be how it's said, is it? I don't know. Doesn't really matter. You were both right, Kilmarnock, and it's apparently Latin for we trust. There you go. Learn something new every day. You both got it. Ryan Fraser is on loan at Southampton from Newcastle. Both got it. Nothing worse than being 1 year out, Lewis. Joe Hart is 36.
Aww.
And Jim Duffy got it. You both knew that Jurgen Klopp had been at Liverpool for 8 years. I mean, Lewis is putting in a fine performance here, but the man Duffy is flying Somerset Park. He was bound to know that, I'm afraid, Lewis. He just passed on that. Would you have known it if I'd come back to you? No,
no, no clue. Absolutely. So I thought I'd just quickly pass it and try and get an extra answer.
Yeah, not a bad tactic. Yeah. But then you had to pass again, I think, didn't you? Mohamed Diomande has signed. Jim Duffy got that one right as well. So he's stretching his lead here, but Lewis was still in it. He hung in there. Craig Halkett, which he got. Jim Duffy, you still up by two, I think. Three. And Rangers are top of the SWPL. It is a clean sweep for Jim Duffy. Everyone right. I'm sorry.
Why are you saying that with such a surprise in your voice?
No, I can't say no offence now, because I mean it with a bit of.
If it was Roger Hanna, you'd be praising him at the hilt.
Now, well, exactly.
Now I've got the sarcasm.
You ain't no Roger Hanna, quite frankly. But an 8 for Jim Duffy. Usually, what was that, a 4, I think? A 4, I think, for Lewis, which is not too bad, Lewis, but you've been beaten by the better man. Hard lines.
Oh, well, at least it wasn't Hugh Keevans that beat me. I'll take it.
Every cloud. Thank you very much to Lewis, which means for the first time in your history, I think you're going to be going for the 10.
Why not?
Have you ever gone for the 10?
No.
You're about to try and join an exclusive club. I think you've done it before. Missed out. Did you get nine? It's a touchy subject.
I missed the ninth question.
Miraculously, the last one was easy as well. Despite him being hopeless at this generally, Hugh Keevans has got a 10.
Right.
And I think
and
Roger,
he's got the
mug
to prove it, hasn't he?
I think it's only Hugh and Roger.
Roger's got your one.
I'm looking at these last two. Anyway, number nine, Derek Adams moved. How easy is this? Derek Adams moved from which club to join Ross County?
Morecambe.
100 times better than Ross County there.
Yep.
And for the 10, Jim Duffy. Bit harder. What nationality is Hibs' new signing Emiliano Marcondes?
Marcondes will go for Portuguese.
He's fallen at the final hurdle, and I've got sympathy for you because you can't even make an educated guess because he doesn't sound Danish, does he?
No,
but he's Danish. There you go. And nine. It's not a 10, but it'll do.
Not really.
I just remember what question done me actually. It was the 10th thing. It was the alphabetical order.
The championship, was it?
I went for our both or something.
Always room for improvement, that's the thing.
There we are, a nine. You cannot grumble with that. Well done to Jim Duffy. Hard lines to Lewis, our colleague Andrew McLean. He's been on. I think he's got Hugh Keevans down to a T. Apparently, tonight at 10:30 at the Savoy is an event called I Am a Raver. Can you see Shug?
He's in the Savoy. Can you see Mr.
Because he's with Mrs. Keevans. Can you see the pair of them? The glow
Raven.
Sticks.
Dancing
half
the handbag.
At the Savoy.
Big bad mental Shug.
I'm not sure. Milo's again gone Strictly. Everybody thinks Hugh's away at Strictly, but I think we can do better. Get your research caps on. Tell us where Hugh Keevans is tonight. We'll find out on the show tomorrow, I'm sure. 01419511025. What are you thinking so far then? If you want to get involved with conversations we've already had, that might be about Rangers' new signings, it might be about Cameron Carter-Vickers' new contract or Celtic's recruitment business so far, but I'm sure we can spread our wings in the second hour onto new territory as well, because we've got big games coming up this weekend. Every team in the Premiership involved tomorrow, big games in the lower league, and everybody's interested in transfers surely. So whatever you've got for us, now would be a great time to share it. We're staying in Paisley. It's a real theme of the show. Robbie is there, but he's a St Mirren fan with tomorrow on his mind. What are you thinking, Robbie?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good here, good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
What are you thinking tomorrow? Can you cause a wee upset?
I'm quietly confident. I think the transfer business that Stephen Robinson's done so far in January has been excellent. I think if you look at the positions that he upgraded, you know, we had Tanzer there. There's no really much else there. Thierry Small getting recalled. So I think bringing in that new signing today, I think it's added real quality. And also James Scott, who, you know, he knows the league well. So I think we can quietly cause an upset. You know, we just get written off sometimes in these games, but proven time and time again we can put in the performances.
Yeah, Jaden Brown on loan from Lincoln, that's the one you mean, isn't it?
Yeah,
the latest one today. I think we all thought Kwon was an interesting one, because, well, for obvious reasons, the Celtic link. James Scott, it looked like maybe was going to head back to Motherwell, but he's gone, like all ex-Motherwell players do, to St Mirren and reunite with Stephen Robinson. I've always got this memory that his best Motherwell performances were against St Mirren, so maybe he'll feel at home in Paisley. And I'm interested in St Mirren because they're having a good season. They're not a team where you say, oh, they're in desperate need of recruitment to like save some sort of disastrous season. They're doing well already and then looking to strengthen and looking to build on that.
Yeah, Kenny mentioned earlier on, had a little bit of a dip, you know, in terms of from the start they had, but, you know, still a very good season if you take it over the whole period, the first half of the season. And Stephen Robinson is, like he did at Motherwell, terrific at looking at the lower leagues in England and bringing in players that, you know, not everyone was aware of, but do a very good job and can suit the style that he wants to play, suit Scottish Premier League as well. So I think these were good signing. Obviously, James Scott, as Robbie mentioned there, been up before, tall, can play kind of wider, can play as a striker. You know, again, gives him another option. I think that's maybe the one area that they would maybe like to be a little bit more creative in, that final third. They maybe don't capitalise on maybe some of the opportunities. And I think that's the one part that Stevie Robinson would just like to improve a bit. And if he can do that even marginally, that'll keep them in the top six for the rest of the season.
Robbie, I've got a radical plan for St Mirren though. They're going to need to try and keep 11 players on the pitch against the Old Firm tomorrow, aren't they?
I think it's the last five games we've had a percent off. I think already it's a tough enough challenge with 11, but, you know, having 11 players on the park will be key, and I think that attacking threat points quite valid, because I think Strain's probably one of our biggest attacking threats. You know, I know he's a right wing back, but him and McMenamin down that right hand side, that was dangerous at the start of the season. McMenamin sort of fell off a bit, but I think that quality there is really missing. And Kwan is another one as well. I watched him against Queen's South last week in the cup, and I must say, by the way, Marvin Bartley is far from a shy manager on the touchline.
Oh, he likes the sound of his own voice, doesn't he?
Yeah, big time.
What an absolute pest, honestly. I tell him that all the time, that he needs to calm down a bit, but he never listens. Look, Robbie's right. Stephen Robinson will know it. We said at the top of the show, if you look on paper, this just goes down as one of those that you think that could be tricky when Celtic and Rangers go there. It becomes a lot less tricky if, like when Rangers went there earlier, Ryan Strain gets sent off after 28 minutes and gives away a penalty. And then when Celtic went there around the festive period, it was even earlier than that, wasn't it? I'll check that one.
Yeah, it was about 17 minutes. Yeah, or something like that, yeah.
To state the obvious, it's hard enough, as Robbie says. You just need that little bit of luck in the key moments to go your way as well.
Well, listen, I think that, I mean, the sending offs were sending offs. You know, it was decisions that were made by their players that obviously cost them. And then when the Rangers won, it's the first goal as well. You know, at least the penalty, at least a goal. So it's going to be an uphill struggle. It's always going to be tough, like you say, against the Old Firm when they come to town. But you're making it really tough going down to 10 men. So St Mirren, I've got to say, they have kind of put in a good show against the Old Firm at home over the last couple of seasons. Stephen Robinson's teams, again, they're really, really clear about what they want to do. Their players seem to know exactly what their manager wants, and they've got some good players, and they have added pretty well. James Scott will come in. He seems to be a good fit for a Stephen Robinson team. I've seen the left back quite a bit. I think he was the lad that was at Sheffield Wednesday as well. I think previously I used to watch him quite a bit, because Josh Swindas is obviously their ex-Rangers player. So he's good athlete, up and down. He'll fit the system that Stephen Robinson plays. So they made a couple of good signings. Again, it's always going to be tough when Rangers come to town. Heavy favourites, and Rangers have got their own agenda. You know, they've got to close that gap down to 2 points. So listen, it'll be a tough game. You would expect Rangers to get past it.
Your high hopes for the second half of the season, Robbie?
Yeah, I think so. There's no reason why we can't finish top six. I mean, we've done it last season. I think it's just about picking up points against the teams that we should be picking up points against. I mean, over the seasons we've dropped some silly points here and there, so I think if we can get the points at teams like Livingston and Dundee, then there's no reason why we can't be up in top six.
Yep, because the obvious kind of food chain of things, you generally look at which of the top clubs, the bigger clubs, are not going to make it, because there's usually one. Who's going to underperform? How many spaces does that open up for St Mirren's, Kilmarnock's, Motherwell's, whoever it might be? Just had to throw the last one in there, as unlikely as it looks. Hibs and Aberdeen, it's not immediately getting any better, is it? I know Hibs played Rangers, but there was not a lot in that performance that would fill you with hope, and Aberdeen held again.
Did they play each other tomorrow?
Aberdeen Hearts,
sorry. But
Hibs Kelly, though. Hibs Kelly away. Hibs Kelly,
that was the one. But I think that, you know, it's interesting to hear what Robbie was saying there. Oh, you know, the teams that we should beat, almost, it's almost like a kind of change in mindset for St Mirren fans. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of seasons ago, you're delighted to maintain your Premier League status. Now, as if, oh, we should be beating Livingston. Livingston have been a really consistent Premier League team now for about 5 years. Again, you know, Dundee back in have had a good start, again, falling off, you know, the levels a little bit recently. But I think every game is competitive at that level, because, you know, they've all got something to play for, whether it's the top six. And as you say, whether the expectation levels of the big teams like Aberdeen, Hibs, they should be there, you know, in terms of the level of club that they're at. But St Mirren under Stephen Robinson have been very consistent since he's went in last year, this year. And if they can just add, a little bit of extra calmness in front of goal, I'm absolutely convinced that they could be the ones. But I think Kilmarnock will run them close, I have to say that. I think Derek McInnes has done a magnificent job there.
Might both make it.
They might both make it, but, you know, you would tend to think that either Aberdeen or Hibs, if put it this way, both of them are outside the top six, I think that would be a major blow and a major shock, and may cost one of the managers, if not both of them, their jobs.
I think Aberdeen will get in the top six. I don't think Hibs will.
No.
Not for what I've seen so far.
Thanks to Robbie. We will leave it there. 01419511025. Please give us a call and we'll get a full time teaser up and running next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Jim Duffy are here. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. Are you happy with your team's transfer business as we bring another week in the transfer window to a close? What are you hoping for towards the end? We've been discussing Cameron Carter-Vickers and Celtic's business. We've looked at Rangers' new signing. Looks like there's another one on the way as well, this Brazilian left back. So keep the calls coming there. We've just had a St Mirren fan looking ahead to the game tomorrow. So anyone else that's out there, please do give us a call. I must admit, right, see, obviously I want people to get in touch about football talking points, but the main source of entertainment on Twitter and so on is the whereabouts of Hugh Keevans. I said he's away to see some sort of musical act tonight, and I thought, I can't remember who. I'll put it out to the audience. Who do you think it is? We had a great shout from a few people saying Strictly at the Hydro, which would make sense, right up his street. We decided the Savoy, I'm a Raver. Probably not.
It's too late as well for you, that half ten.
Because we're 6 hours tomorrow as well. Imagine he can bounce in here.
Straight through the roof.
With the glow sticks, the eyes, but even bigger than the glasses. Yeah. Charlie in the Chocolate Factory is at the Kings if Shug is a musical fan, says Laura. Mm-hmm. And we've got this could be it, an eyewitness. Apparently, Ian's a taxi driver. He says he's at the taxi rank in town and he can see Hugh Keevans in the queue for the pavilion. But who's on at the pavilion? Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to give me this information. Who is it? Because that doesn't...
Mrs. Like, Brown's Boys or something like that.
Who is at the pavilion tonight? I'm hoping one of the producers can quickly Google it and tell me, and then we can decide whether he's there or not. But anyway, whilst we do that, really important cutting-edge football stuff, let me give you this teaser.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Right, good question this. Thanks to Grant McIver or McKeever, whichever one. Apologies, Grant, if I've got it wrong, for sending it in. Now, it like sounds easy, and it is in a way, but I think the fact that this is even a question shows you the life of a modern manager, as you two will know. Can you name the last 7 managers of a Scottish Premiership club who've surpassed a year in the job?
Martindale.
David Martindale, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really bad start that he's not on the list.
Oh, okay.
All right, hold.
So Premiership managers.
Mate, what's going on here?
What has gone on here? We're confused again, Jim. It's like one job.
What did you say there afterwards, though?
Ange.
Yeah, Ange is there.
Sorry. Robbie Nielsen.
He's not on the list. I don't get it.
Derek McInnes?
Yeah, McInnes.
Derek McInnes. Right. Right, okay. We'll leave it there for now. 0141951 1025. Give us a call, send us a tweet, and let us know what is on your mind this evening. Who have we not heard from? What's coming in here as well? You can see a few tweets making their way over, mostly about transfer business. Are you confident then that we're going to have a busy, because it'll be the start of next week? Do you think it'll pick up a bit?
Absolutely, will, yeah.
You think so?
Yep. It's got to.
Sometimes, maybe just.
Well, Celtic are signing 4 between now and then, so. There's 4 straight away.
One's going to be a long Shankland.
Yeah, that was the exclusive, wasn't it? I look forward to that. That clip's on Twitter, by the way, at Clyde SSB, if you want to get your thoughts over. Whilst we line up some more calls, why don't we hear from Stephen Robinson, because we were just talking about the St Mirren game, but on a fellow Northern Irishman, because he was asked, just understandable, what he thought of Stephen Davis's retirement. And here's a big shout. He says he should be regarded as on a par with George Best.
He's, if not the best, he's right up there. He should be mentioned in the same bracket as George Best. You know, he's such a talented boy. What he's done for Northern Irish football, you know, captain the side to the Euros. He might not have been captain in the Euros when I think about that there, but he's been a great captain for Michael O'Neill throughout his time. He's provided so much to the young players coming through. He's been an inspiration, and for someone that I've worked with, arguably the best player I've worked with on the training pitch, never caused a minute's problem. Easy maintenance, easy to manage, but a super, super talented boy. But in terms of recognition, I think he'd be recognised in that bracket as one of the greatest players ever to play for Northern Ireland.
Kenny, you're the obvious person to come to. I mean, big news this week. Not entirely surprising, I think. We kind of knew that he would probably retire, but how would you sum up his contribution?
this again, Stephen Robinson's taught me to get, was it 140, 142 caps for your country? An incredible, yeah. Was it the outfield player, the highest in Britain? That is a master, as an international player. So that again speaks for itself. What he's achieved at Rangers as a footballer, I think he's one of five players, I think, to have played in two European finals. Again, for me, even at the latter stage of his career, still had so much to offer as a player. I think this injury has just kind of finished him. Like, it's made him realise that maybe it's finding it a little bit tough to find his way back. And listen, you know what? When you get to that stage as well in the career that he's had and the people that have worked with him, there's probably other options on the table for him as well. And maybe he just feels that now's the time that those options are the good options to go and start the next stage of his career, you know? So, wonderful player, incredible teammate, you know? I said he's maybe a little bit, I wouldn't say underrated, but understated, because he's no flashy. He does the right things all the time. And that's, for me, that's what sets the very, very, the top players aside from just the good players. The fact that they make the right decision more often than not. I think the best thing you say is, again, I would like to say it about myself, you know, that brilliant teammate. You know, whatever his teammates needed, whatever his team needed at that time, more often than not, he'd done the right thing. So, wonderful player. Had a great career, you know, so he's earned the right, not to put his feet up, but I think he'll move on to something new.
Any moments or performances that stand out? I mean, I've thrown that on you, maybe should have warned you, but any that kind of spring to mind?
You know, I think, see the type of player he is, he was an 8 out of 10 every single week, and when I went back to Rangers in 2008, we had Barry Ferguson and Pedro Mendes in the centre of the midfield, and he got kind of put to the right of that four more often than not, because, I mean, we had wonderful players in there, but he still went and done equally good a job. And the moment that stands out for me that season was his first Old Firm goal, where we actually needed to win the game at Ibrox. It was after the break and we were playing catch up, maybe 3-4 points back, and we had to win the game, and he got the winning goal that day. It was a big moment. It propelled, I think it gave us the opportunity. The league was now back in our own hands. So it was a big moment. But in terms of performances, like, he was every week, you know, he'd done the right things, 8 out of 10 every single week. Brilliant to play. I love playing him. Again, what good, these types of players, they make the guys about them better.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, he made me better. He made my job a lot easier, and I'm sure the rest of the lads felt the same.
Outstanding player. Players that make the game look easier, you know, are so talented. His awareness, you know, when he receives the ball, his awareness of his teammates, you know, where the danger was, the assessment. And also, it's the most difficult thing, Gordon, in football, to always want the ball. See, if your team's not playing great, or if you're maybe even having a wee off day, but Stephen Davis never shied away from the ball. He was always wanting the ball. You could always say to him, you could always trust that he was going to be available for the ball. And I think that players like that, you know, they take the risk, because the risk passes, and if you give it away, you get a wee bit of stick. But he, as I said, if he'd done that, he would still demand the ball the next time. And as Kenny said, then he made everyone else tick. I think he was a fabulous player for Rangers, and also 140 caps, is it, for Northern Ireland?
It's longevity.
That's incredible.
You know, it's a longevity of it as well. To play at that level right to that age is actually incredible. And obviously his role got adapted, because he wasn't the all-action box-to-box player now. He actually, again, his game intelligence was so good that he became the controller of the game, you know, and his positions that he picked up, he was just in the right areas all the time. Just a wonderful footballer.
Do you know what? I think I'm just going to blame you two just for no reason, because you just answered so confidently and it sort of threw me off. But we've overcomplicated this question. It's just that it's the last seven managers to surpass the year. So that's what rules Davy Martindale.
Of course, because he's not the last.
That's what rules Robbie Nielsen. Just that's it. They're not in the last seven.
Lee Johnson.
Yeah, so it's a good start. You've got Lee Johnson, Derek McKinnison, Ange Postecoglou. So we'll leave it there. And if you, like Grant did, want to use your question, so that's the idea. You come up with a question, email me fulltime@clyde1.com, and I'll try and use it on the show and try and catch out the pundits. So if you like the thought of that, send an email over. And as always, thanks to Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride, for their help with the question as well. Alec is a Celtic fan on the line. We had a bit of discussion earlier, Alec, about Celtic's transfers and whether fans were getting impatient or not. How do you feel?
I feel calm about it. I'm out in the heat, you know what I mean?
And the body.
What does it bother me, that? First of all, good evening to you all.
Good evening.
And Kenny. Can you hear me, Kenny?
I can hear you perfectly, Alec. Yep.
Right. Just want to thank you, pal, for about a year and a bit. I've seen a bit. You gave us 100%.
I appreciate it, Alec. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And
See, I like that because you. Let's be honest. I thought that was going to go the other way.
Well, did you?
Did you?
No,
I was ready for him.
I thought he was just setting you up to whack you.
Yeah, right. Okay.
No, good on you, Alec.
No, I know guys that's saying they don't want Shanklin there at Celtic, but there's been plenty of exchanges that are Rangers support players that came to Celtic and played well.
True.
So I've not got a problem with that.
Would
that
listen? I don't know whether it's Shanklin or not. There was a guy on earlier, very confident. But does Celtic need a striker? What are you looking for between now and what day is it? Is it Wednesday or something? Tuesday, Wednesday.
I don't know,
first
of February.
Yeah, I think it's
Thursday. Anyway,
what are you hoping for?
I think need a backup to Kyogo anyway, definitely. And probably for Greg Taylor as well. Although he's done well, Greg Taylor, you know, but he needs somebody to back him up.
Yeah, and that's, we're going to see it tomorrow. For what it's worth, we spoke about the situation, but I don't think you picked, because I know it's not critical. I know Brendan Rodgers won't be having sleepless nights, with no disrespect to Ross County, but which one would you pick if it is of those two, Burnaby or Liam Scales?
I think you would have to play Burnaby there. If you don't play Burnaby tomorrow, you're basically just saying, listen, there is no way you're going to play here ever, because if you can't play a home game against Ross County, when can you play? If he's fit, and I don't know if he is fit, but if he is fit and if he has been training, he's got to play him in that particular game. Keep Scales where he is, because he's been doing terrific in that area. So for me, he's got to play Burnaby tomorrow.
Same logic, just, you know,
that's his position. Liam Scales is doing well in his position. That's not needed to play somebody out of position. You know, again, like Jim says, if he was to play Liam Scales there, like, what does that say to Burnaby? So, listen, and he might, because he might just no fancy him, but for me, you play the left back and you play Liam Scales at left.
You could play Ralphs in there or Johnson there and play the other one right back, you know, because both of them could do that. But in terms of how Celtic want to play, getting forward, full backs being expansive, then Burnaby's your best option.
I know managers don't, they want to try and move as few pieces around as possible, don't they? So I kind of know you're going to reject this, but I'll float it anyway. Just because of what's developing with Cameron Carter-Vickers coming back, is Mike Navrotsky in a pretty good place? Would it give you, if you played Liam Scales at the back, give you a chance to use them all, if that makes sense?
I think it's how you want. Can I see Liam Scales bombing up that left flank and beating players and being that that attacking influence that you need for there? Listen, I think he's somebody that would go on and give everything he's got and he'd do the job to the best of his ability. But again, it can potentially cause you a problem if you played Navrotsky with Carter-Vickers. Then you might have, you're disrupting a partnership that you've probably got in your mind, like Scales and Carter-Vickers, that it's going to be. For me, I play the left back at left back. And unless he's absolutely out of the picture and they're looking to kind of maybe move him on or find him another club, that you would play Liam Scales. For me, I'd be playing the left back at left back.
Go along with that, Alec.
I think it's a great thing. Would you call him Carter-Vickers to sign?
Yeah, he's been a big fan's favourite, hasn't he?
Yeah. I phoned in earlier, see the boy Scott from Cambus Lang?
Yes.
Believe it or not, me and his father and my big friend were Celtic ticket holders for years and years. His father gave it up a number of years back, and that's why he's got a ticket. I was sitting beside him up until the Ross County game at the start of the season. Now I've transferred my ticket out to my son.
See, I like that. I like to feel like we're bringing, I mean, there's 60,000 people in that stadium, but they phone in here and people think, I know him, I used to sit next to him at the football. I like that, I must admit. We've kind of connection there with Alec in the previous caller. You did say about how far out the picture Burnaby, how far out is he? Four appearances this season. One in August, one in September, one in November, one in December,
one in January.
Pretty far out for what it's worth. His one and only Celtic goal did come against Ross County, if you're looking for some sort of random moment that means nothing.
I just think that Celtic's going to dominate the game. There's no doubt about that. Ross County are going to try and make it, you know, as difficult as they can, get 11 men behind the ball. And, you know, that's when you need, I think, the balance about the team and the way they play. And I'm with Kenny. Listen, Scales can play that position. I'm sure Ralston can play their joints, but just in terms of how they want to play and the balance of the team, I think Burnaby's got to be your option. Unless, as you mentioned, if they're going to try and sell him and they don't want to risk an injury, because obviously that could play a part from a business point of view if he goes in and he gets injured. But to the player himself, again, you've got to be saying to yourself, if I'm not playing against Ross County at home, I'll never play.
Yeah, thank you very much to Alec. Of course, it's been quite the spell for Derek Adams, mostly in terms of what he says after games rather than what happens during them. But let's hear a bit from him, because he's obviously going to try and mastermind a plan to stop Celtic tomorrow. He's got quite the analogy for it. I've been doing a bit of DIY myself over recent weeks, so I don't know if this will work, but he's been talking about how he's putting together his Ross County team.
Obviously a difficult game for anyone that goes there. They've got an excellent home record. Hearts are the only team, I believe, that have beaten them this year. So it's a tough task. We've obviously got injury issues. It's quite easy from the outside to look at things and say, how can you not do that and do this? But if you've got a plan in place and you don't have the tools to do it, it's like, you know, going to the job and not having the tools. You can't do the job. And that's the scenario in training at this moment in time.
Yeah, I get it, I guess. That's my excuse for everything. When I get asked to do a job in the house, it's not
it's not to do with my lack of ability. I've just not got the tools to do it. I don't know if that's a good idea. I mean, listen, maybe he's throwing, you know, a kind of, use a tool analogy, maybe throwing a spanner in the box.
Oh,
here to,
I like it. I see what
just,
you did.
Just to try and
just kinda, to try and hammer home the point.
Yes, exactly. No, I'm not going to go down those roads. There's a few I can say. Right, but the fact is, his team are going to go there, and he's more or less saying, I don't have the players to get a result here before a ball's kicked. So I don't really know how that's going to motivate the players to go and be as determined. Maybe he's using a wee bit of reverse psychology and saying to the players, ah, well, no one fancies you. I'm going to put that out there. Let's see if we can, you know, we can surprise. But I think even if they've got everyone fit, I don't think that, well, they're not good enough to go and beat Celtic. But with injuries and with the way that things are just at the moment in Ross County, it's got to be a comfortable victory for Celtic tomorrow. Got to be.
I mean, I saw that interview that he did last week, Kenny, and it was quite something. I think we would all agree. He's had a couple now, so. Microphones at the ready tomorrow.
There'll be a lot of people tuning in post-match.
I think it's going to be a nail in the coffin.
But by the way, imagine against the backdrop of all this, Derek Adams goes and gets even a point at Celtic Park.
Listen, there's teams like this, like talking about, I've got the tools, I've got the players, I've got the injuries. There's teams that have went to Celtic Park and the blueprint's there. You know, you go, you make it tough, you park the bus. You try and frustrate, and when you know yourself, when a game takes a certain kind of mold, and it's, you get to that half hour point and potentially Celtic have not got that goal, they've got something to protect. You're now looking towards half time as a milestone. Can we get there? You know, I'm not saying it's easy to do it against the good teams, but it's an easier way to get your team set up to be kind of destructive and defensive than it is to go and be expansive and create. That's unfortunately for the majority of the teams when they're going to sell, that's the way you need to go about it. And then you hope that moment comes along, whether it be a counter-attack or whether it be a set play or whether it be later in the game where you're actually maybe a little bit more confident because you've kind of navigated the first 70, 75 minutes. You can do it. Livingston have been there a few times and got draws. You've got, I think, Dundee have been before and got draws and results. I mean, Hearts went and won. You know, Hearts are obviously a better team than Ross County, but they went there and won 2-0 and shut Celtic out. Yeah. So it's doable. You know, you need a lot of luck. You need to perform at the highest level, and probably Celtic need to get, after that 15, 20 minute spell, you need to be frustrated.
Yeah, I suppose it's like, you know, don't be too negative, but don't be too gung ho. You know, I suppose ultimately just about keeping your spirit level, you would say.
Come on now.
Really anyway, right. Thanks to Grant for the teaser. Can you name the last seven managers to last a year in charge of a Premiership club? So the last seven to surpass the year. You've got Lee Johnson, Derek McInnes, and Ange Postecoglou.
Sean Maloney?
Nope.
Derek Adams' predecessor,
Malky McKay.
Malky, yep, well done.
Got Malky done, but
Stephen Robinson.
Two to get. We'll get them after these. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Kenny Miller and Jim Duffy are here, and they are going about their business on this teaser. Can you name the last seven managers of a Premiership club to last a year in charge of said club? So you've got Lee Johnson at Hibs, Derek McInnes at Kelly, Stephen Robinson, St Mirren, Ange Postecoglou, Malky McKay.
Stevie Robinson.
You said him, got him.
Yeah, there we go.
Neil Lennon.
Give me one. No.
Calum Davison.
Nope.
Steven Gerrard.
No.
Mick Pake.
No.
Oofed.
So you're missing one of the bigger ones. You've kind of went round them all apart from this guy.
Hearts?
No, no, like Aberdeen. Bigger. Bigger.
Oh, the big Hearts. Hmm? Giovanni, did yes. The last of year?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh, okay, we've only got one to get. We'll get it before the end of the show. Now, at this stage on a Friday, we're always quickly trying to tidy up what have we not given attention to before the weekend, which we really need to. Generally, I'll always try and introduce this, but seriously, by anybody's book, St Johnstone Motherwell's big.
I think there's some good fixtures.
You just try to kind of get a sense of drama there. I've got a fixture list.
He does. He's got it started
alongside Aberdeen, Hearts, Aberdeen, and Kilmarnock Hibs.
9th against 10th. Level on points, level on games played.
Yep.
Right.
Big game.
But what it does is the winner, if there is a winner, it will push them not too far away for the top six, because the way the fixtures are, that obviously Aberdeen and Hearts are playing, Hibs and Kilmarnock are playing, something's got to give in those games. So if there is a winner between St Johnstone and Motherwell, then that will push them probably to within at least maybe a game away, 2-3 points away for that top six. So after all the troubles at St Johnstone at the start of the season and that long winless run for Motherwell, you could be within touching distance of the top six.
And then to put a more negative spin on things, Jim, we know that games in hand, you know, you obviously have to win them and so on. But for all this kind of the negativity we've just said there, and Derek Adams, Ross County are 2 points behind both, with two games in hand.
Yeah.
So you know the loser, if there is one between St Johnstone and Motherwell, you know, could be in a real bit of bother.
Yeah, and obviously both of those clubs have recently changed their manager with Craig Levine. Derek Adams, both very experienced managers coming in to try and steer them away from the relegation aspect. Yeah, I agree with you, Gordon, in the sense that if Motherwell, I would expect Motherwell to win that game. I think that the look is if they calmed down a little bit. I was at the game against Hibs before the break, and I thought they actually played very, very well. Drew 2-2, lost a goal in the last minute, but played very well. So I think Motherwell could win that one and just give them a wee bit of breathing space. And then we have to see how Ross County develop. We heard that little mini interview from Derek Adams there saying he's got a lot of injuries. He's not really got the players he wants to at this moment in time available to him, whether they're back in a short period of time. Also, there's a lot of talk about Jan Danda, who's one of their top players, being unhappy, wanting to leave. Hearts, I think, have been in for him. So it'll be interesting to see about that as well. But I think if you can manage to get that wee bit of breathing space, then it puts pressure on the likes of St Johnstone and Ross County.
Motherwell, with no luck on the injury front this week, Kenny signing Adam Montgomery, by all accounts looked good in the cup against Alloa, kind of high hopes that he could provide some sort of spark. Looks like a hamstring injury, talking 12 weeks, and it never rains but it pours if you're Stuart Kettlewell, in the same window as losing Mika Beerith, losing Brody Spencer, season-ending injury for Callum Slattery. Halliday's going to need some game tomorrow.
Well, listen, he might have to play 2-3 different positions. By that he can as well. He could fill in on that left side. He can be in the midfield. I think it'll be a really good signing. But for the loss of Montgomery, like when you lose Brody Spencer, who's been a good player for you, and you lose him, you go and sign the replacement, and then within a week he's injured. Like, he must be thinking what he's done, Stuart Kettlewell, because they are in a dogfight at this moment in time. As much as they've got a lot of plaudits at the early part of the season, and even through some of those defeats, performing pretty well. It's a big loss to lose a player you've just brought in the door.
I think Livingston, you know, last week beating Raith Rovers in the cup could be a big moment for them as well. Just to again give them that belief that they can start winning games again, because they had such a terrible run. Struggle to score goals, but I think getting through in the cup and, you know, getting that win as well, I'll breathe a little bit of life into them as well. So I wouldn't write off Livingston coming where we run. We're doing the quiz there in terms of managers, but Davey Martindale is the longest serving manager in the Premiership. You know, him and Derek, I'm not sure. He's longer than Derek, I think, there. So, you know, he's done an outstanding job there, and I don't think he's ready for you know, giving up that fight yet. Anybody that knows Davey knows he's going to roll the sleeves up and make sure he gets every ounce of effort out of those players.
And Hearts Aberdeen's just always a good one, isn't it? It's just traditionally, you know, a couple of our bigger clubs, and both, I mean, the league table tells you Hearts are, you know, the third, and that's kind of where they would aim to be. But it's not been a plain sailing season so far. Aberdeen, again, if they were to win their games in hand, they would be sitting fine. But it's been up and down for them. You've got Shanklin, Miovsky. Is this their respective last games for their clubs?
There's a shootout with two of the best strikers in the league, you know.
Will Shanklin take a penalty if Hearts get it?
Yeah, I don't think he should. I think he will. Missed three in a row. I think it's time to take them off. If I'm a player on that team, you wouldn't be doing it. You don't grab the ball, but you'd have a chat with him. I know he's captain or that, but you would have a chat with him in the dressing room, training. Say, come on, you know, it's time to pass the baton.
I think he'll take it.
Really?
And
this is obviously...
This is your guy that's going to be on for probably a 30-goal season.
The 50-50, and he'll back himself. But imagine missing four in a row after being so consistent.
Again, when you look at the bigger picture, what is that? He's missed 3-18.
If I was a manager, I'd be taking him off. Stephen Aysburg, I'd be taking him. I'd say, you're off them.
Okay, let's try and round off this teaser then before we run out of time. And by the way, the real quiz tonight, lots of people, Milo, Craig D, Matondo, I had loads on various platforms as well, Scott Wright, Ricky, a number of people saying Eddie Reader at the Pavilion. That sounds right up Hugh Keevan's street. Apparently we've got an eyewitness spotting him in the taxi queue, so we'll need to find out tomorrow where he was. But anyway, can you name the last seven managers of a Premiership club to surpass a year in the job? So Lee Johnson, Derek McInnes, Stephen Robinson, Gio, Ange and Malky Mackay.
Stephen Glass?
More. Nope. It's a cracker.
Alexander, no?
No.
Jim Alexander.
It's that sort of era. But
I'm toiling.
Stephen McLean was only a few months.
He's a guy who, just because it was his first Premiership job, we hadn't really heard that much about him before, and he actually finished in a perfectly good league position, and then he left, and we've not seen him since. I'm not doing anything for you.
Boyer?
No.
No.
So, Wright City?
Jack Ross?
Close, Wright Club.
Who was the manager there after Jack?
There was a bit of a debate when he got appointed.
Tam Courts.
I was going to say about his first name, whether we were giving him the full Sunday title or not. Thomas Tam Courts is the last answer. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Jim. And thank you. Thank you for listening. Thanks for all your company on the phones and on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it. We're back tomorrow, a 6-hour Saturday in here. Looking forward to it. GBX is up next.